Okay, welcome. As we mentioned last week, this is actually going to be our last shiur for the season, as Meirav is getting later and later. It's also a nice opportunity to relate this last shiur to a quasi-holiday which is coming up this coming week. I don't have in mind Mother's Day, although I guess that might be appropriate for a lady shiur. But I want to speak a little bit about Lag BaOmer, a very curious.
A very curious
holiday on the Jewish calendar. One which is sort of, you know, certainly is not mentioned directly in the Gemara. One which sort of evolved later on in time, and one whose character is very hard to sort of pin down. What do we do on Lag BaOmer? Well, we skip Tachanun, we make bonfires, and we try to shoot people with arrows. All right, and what exactly is the significance of all of that? Not exactly clear. So I want to share something which I've shared in the past, but I think it bears repetition. A beautiful approach, a very novel approach from the Hasidic Sefer, the Bnei Yisoschar, where he gives a really very unusual approach to understanding Lag BaOmer, and I'm hoping that we walk away from here tonight not only with a heightened appreciation for Lag BaOmer, that it's not just about shooting arrows, making bonfires and the like. Giving little boys haircuts. Okay, there you go. Not even just about bonfires, arrows and giving little boys haircuts, but that there might be something deeper to all of that. And hopefully some of what we'll talk about tonight, I think, will also serve as the bridge from Lag BaOmer to the Kabbalah HaTorah at Shavuos, which, as we know, is the next major holiday that follows Lag BaOmer. It says the Bnei Yisoschar, ironically, the starting point for Lag BaOmer is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which many of us are familiar with, and which many of us recited just 2 weeks ago. It happens not to be in this sitter. Let's try this one. Says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud. Chamisha Talmidim Hoyu Lol Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. The famous Tana Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai had five students: Rabbi Lezer Ben Hurkanos, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Hanania, Rabbi Yossi Yakoin, Rabbi Shim Ben Nathanel, Rabbi Lazar Ben Aroch. These were the five individuals, the great Tanoim, who were responsible for rebuilding Jewish life after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So we had these five great students. Omar Lohem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told his five students, go out and see what is the good path that a person should cling to in life. In other words, what's that one thing which a person should connect to in order to make his life as successful as possible? So they all came back with different answers. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ayin Tova. Rabbi Lezer says a good eye. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Chover Tov. Rabbi Yeshua says a good friend. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shochein Tov. Rabbi Yossi says a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroa Esanolod. Rabbi Shimon says one who can guess what's going to happen in the future, one who can foresee the future. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Lev Tov. Rabbi Lazar says the ultimate goodness that a person should cling to in this world is to try to have a good heart. Amar Lohem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to the Talmidim, Roe Anias Divrei Elazar ben Aroch min Divreichem. I prefer what Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch said, i.e. that the best path in life is to have a Lev Tov, a good heart. I prefer what he said over all that you said. Shebichlal Divarov Divreichem. Because everything that you said is included in what he said. That sounds very beautiful. What on earth does it mean? Right? So Rabbi Lazar ben Aroch talks, first of all, you know, a chover tov, a shachin tov. Okay, these are all good things. why are these the single most important thing that a person should cling to in life in order to have success? And what exactly does a Lev Tov mean, a good heart? You know, make an appointment with a cardiologist? I mean, what does Lev Tov mean? What exactly is that all about? So, says the Bnei Yisachar, ultimately we know that Tov refers to Torah itself. Chazal say in many places, Ein Tov Ela Torah. Right? The ultimate good is Torah. The notion of a Lev Tov, of having a good heart, is to fill one's mind up with Torah. Remember, in the parlance of both the Tanakh and Chazal, Lev is not only the seat of the emotions. We speak of the heart as, you know, the seat of emotion, but Lev is seen as being the seat of the intellect. So we think about a Lev Tov, it means a mind which is devoted to Torah. Ultimately, a Lev Tov is what a person should strive for in order to make everything else fall into place. And if you really want a Lev Tov, you'll see that all of the other things which are recipes for success are going to come naturally with the Lev Tov. A person who wants to fill his mind up with Torah will naturally look for chaverim. He'll naturally look for friends who are good friends, who can reinforce that idea of being devoted to Torah. He'll naturally look for a shachein tov, a good neighbor, because he realizes that neighbors are very important. The community in which you live, your surroundings, have an incredible impact on the way that you are and your devotion to Torah. He'll have an ayin tova. Ayin tova means that a person has a good eye, i.e. a generous spirit. When a person really suffuses himself with the values of Torah, he creates an ayin tova for himself. He creates a sense of generosity. A person who learns Torah and yet has a sense of stinginess hasn't really absorbed the lessons of Torah into himself. And haroah es hanolad, someone who's able to see what's going to happen down the line, we learn that Torah gives a person a certain wisdom and a certain understanding, even when it comes to worldly matters. So a sense of roah es hanolad, that success in life depends to a great extent on being able to see what's coming down the line. And specifically when it comes to mitzvos and averos, to realize that the short-term gains you get in doing a sin are far outweighed by the long-term costs of doing that sin, and that the long-term benefits of doing a mitzvah certainly outweigh the short-term difficulties that are involved in doing a mitzvah. So if a person sets his mind and tries to fill up his mind with Torah, Lev Tov, so then he's able to encompass all of the other things which are keys to success.
Right.
Right. And I think you could definitely explain that way. And both parts really stem from the idea of trying to fill oneself up with Torah. In other words, if you fill up your heart and your mind with Torah, you will naturally become the kind of good friend and good neighbor, you know, that a Torah life tries to encourage the person to embrace. So here comes, that's as far as the Mishnah is concerned. Comes the Bnei Yisachar and says, this idea of Lev Tov, good heart, which Rabbi Elazar ben Arach and ultimately Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai see as being key to a person's success in life, is actually a beautiful mnemonic for the period of Sfiras HaOmer. Let's do a little bit of math. I know it's late at night, but, you know, let's just try to do it. It's not that difficult. Lev in Gematria is 32. Tov in Gematria is 17. In other words, the Gematria of Lev Tov is 49. The 49 days of the Sfiras HaOmer. Says the Bnei Yisachar, the goal
of the 49 days of the Sfiras HaOmer are to instill within us a Lev Tov. It's not by accident that the gematria of those two words comes out to be 49, because what Sfiras HaOmer is all about is trying to create that Lev Tov. Let's elaborate on that a little bit. Okay, so it's very cute, you know, the numbers work out, that's great. But obviously it's more than just a cute exercise in mathematics. Yeah, because if you think about it, what is the period of Sfiras HaOmer? The period of Sfiras HaOmer is to take us from Pesach, when we've been freed, but we're not yet ready to receive the Torah at Shavuos, and to try to shape and mold us, both as individuals as well as a nation, to get us ready to be able to receive the Torah, to relive the receiving of the Torah at Shavuos. How do you shape yourself to be able to receive Torah? Well, you have to take a mind and a heart which may not be naturally so receptive to Torah, and chisel away at who you are until your mind and heart can be receptive, and then the Torah can be allowed in. Once you've made your mind and your heart a receptacle to be able to absorb the teachings of Torah, you've made yourself into the kind of person who's ready to accept the Torah, then the Torah, bit by bit, can start coming in, because now you have a receptacle which is not damaged in any way, which is made just so to be able to receive the lessons of Torah and absorb them. Lev Tov, that's the 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer to get us to that point. Take it one step further. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos expresses itself in two words, Lev and Tov. Posits the Bnei Yisoschar, the period of Sfiras HaOmer itself is really divided into two sections. There's a section during which we absorb the lessons of Lev, i.e. we prepare our minds and hearts to be receptacles to Torah. And then, at a certain point during the Sfiras HaOmer period, even before we get to Shavuos, we've been able to prepare our minds and our hearts sufficiently so that we can already start filling up our minds and hearts with a little bit of that Torah. We haven't just finished the receptacle, but now we're actually ready to start using it in some way. We're not quite at the level of being able to receive the Torah at Shavuos, but nonetheless, we're gradually able to put a little bit more and a little bit more of actual content into the receptacle of our minds and our hearts, and to begin to fill it up. How neat and nice is it that Lev is 32, i.e., says the Bnei Yisoschar, the first 32 days of the Sfiras HaOmer? After 32 days of Sfira, we've been able to create for ourselves a Lev, a heart, a mind, a receptacle which is able to begin to receive the lessons of Torah. Starting from the 33rd day and on, we've now progressed to the second level of Sfiras HaOmer, the level which the Bnei Yisoschar would refer to as Tov, as good, where we're able not only to work on building up the receptacle, but to actually start putting content into that receptacle, content which is content of Torah, and to begin to create not just a Lev, but a Lev Tov, to be able to prepare ourselves for Shavuos. In light of all of this, says the Bnei Yisoschar, so now we can understand at least a little bit why Lag BaOmer is a holiday. I mean, it seems like such an arbitrary date on the calendar. Again, there are historical explanations for it. The Talmidim, the students of Rabbi Akiva, stopped dying. It's perhaps the yard site of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which we'll come back to in a few moments. The Chassam Sofer said that it was on Lag BaOmer that the mon started falling in the desert. Meaning, in other words, if you want to look for historical reasons, you can give various historical reasons for the significance of the 18th of Iyar, which is Lag BaOmer. But says the Bnei Yisachar, beyond all of that, I don't think he denies any of the historical reasons, but beyond all of that, the significance of Lag BaOmer is that it's a turning point within the process of self-examination and the self-perfection which the Sfiras HaOmer period is all about. It's when we turn the corner and we go from a state of Lev to begin the state of Tov, the state of goodness, which is ultimately the state of Torah, where we've prepared the receptacle within our hearts, and now we're able to fill it up with the content of Torah. Again, as we know, there's certain versions, the different minhagim, different customs during Sfiras HaOmer as to how the practices of mourning are supposed to work during Sfiras HaOmer, but one of the minhagim is that the practices of mourning go up to Lag BaOmer, and then starting from Lag BaOmer until the end of Sfiras HaOmer, the practices of mourning are suspended in their entirety. That approach that clearly demarcates before Lag BaOmer and for Lag BaOmer and on, even in terms of the practices of mourning which we observe during this period of time, makes a lot of sense according to the approach of the Bnei Yisachar, because again, once we get to Lag BaOmer, we've turned the significant corner in the Sfiras HaOmer period, and now, you know, we're really able to be prepared in a slightly different way for the Kabbalah HaTorah, for the acceptance of Torah and the Yontif of Shavuos. Let's take it one step further. Okay, so now we have Lev and Tov, right? The good heart. Now we understand a little bit, Lag BaOmer is the beginning of the Tov period of the Sfiras HaOmer, and it's a day of joy in that we've been able to complete the first part of the Sfiras HaOmer, and now we're already deepening our readiness, our state of readiness for the Yontif of Shavuos. What's one of the activities which is associated with Lag BaOmer? Building bonfires, right? We here in the Lower East Side, I mean, I'm not looking to necessarily advertise non-Bialystoker events, but you know, if I were to advertise non-Bialystoker events, I understand there is a large bonfire that will be taking place on Delancey Street, approximately 6:30-ish Thursday afternoon, right? You know, so everyone can come and you know, try to make sure that your children and grandchildren don't get too close to the fire. We build bonfires. You know, it's a fascinating thing. Growing up, I don't know what everyone else's experience was, but growing up in America, so Lag BaOmer, when you were a little kid, like, you know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they took you to the park, right? When you got to be a slightly older kid, you skipped Tachanun, and, you know, as an adult, you know, you trimmed your beard. I mean, that was about I assume nobody here trims their beard on Lag BaOmer, but you know, that's about the extent of you know, the happiness and merriment that's associated with Lag BaOmer. You go to Eretz Yisrael, it's a whole different story. Not only among the religious people, even among the people who are chiloni, who are secular, you know, they may not keep Shabbos, but they build a bonfire on Lag BaOmer. I mean, they're going around, you know, building bonfires all over the place. So this idea of the bonfire somehow really, you know, it ignites something in people, I guess. So what is it about the bonfire? Why on earth are we building bonfires? So, says the Bnei Yisachar, if we know that Tov, goodness, is described by Chazal as being a metaphor for Torah, one of the other metaphors for Torah is Esh, is fire. And the building of the bonfire on Lag BaOmer is symbolic of the fact that Lag BaOmer is the beginning of that Tov period of the Sfiras HaOmer, the day on which we're able to start taking the content of Torah, the Esh HaTorah, the fire of Torah, and start instilling it in that receptacle of the Lev, of the heart, which we've been able to successfully create through the first 32 days of the Sfiras HaOmer. It's not by accident, says the Bnei Yisachar, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, his yahrzeit, and Bnei Yisachar claims that his birthday, because after all, tzaddikim,
you know, Chazal tell us, have a tendency to live out their years. So they pass away on their birthday. So the Rei Yisachar assumes that the Rav Shimon bar Yochai's birthday is also on Lag BaOmer. It's not coincidental that we associate Rav Shimon bar Yochai in more than one way with the holiday of Lag BaOmer, because Rav Shimon bar Yochai, again, as the author of the Zohar, revealed certain aspects of the Torah to the world which had been hidden before he was able to reveal them. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai is associated, I wouldn't say more than any historical figure, there is Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, but certainly Rav Shimon bar Yochai is associated to a very great extent with this idea of bringing Torah that had previously been hidden out into the open, at least to an extent. And as such, it makes sense that the yard site of Rav Shimon bar Yochai should be on this day, which begins the Torah aspect of the Sfiras HaOmer, where we're able to have completed making the Lev and able to instill it with a little bit of Tov. For those who, you know, for whom Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the Zohar, Kabbalah, you know, is sort of out of our radar screen a little bit, I want to just supplement what the Bnei Yisachar is writing over here with something which I think is also very interesting. You know, today, when you talk about Lag BaOmer and going to Kvarim, so the tomb that everybody who can goes to, I shouldn't say that, the tomb which has become a great attraction for many people, is the cave of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the tomb of Rav Shimon bar Yochai up in Meiron, northern Israel, not far from Sfas. It's interesting to note, in pre-war Europe, where not everybody was getting on planes and flying off to Meiron to the cave of Shimon bar Yochai, there was also a notion of a pilgrimage to a cave on Lag BaOmer, and that, for those who were able to do so, was the pilgrimage to the cave of the Ramah in Krakow in Poland. The Ramah passed away on Lag BaOmer. And actually, when the Beis Yaakov movement started, one of the things that Sarah Schneira did with her Talmidos was she would organize these trips to the Ramah's Kever in Krakow. Remember, she was a seamstress, she was from Krakow originally. So she would bring the Beis Yaakov students to the Ramah's Kever in Krakow, and they had, you know, the equivalent of what might be described in a different context as the Rebbe's Tish. You know, a whole convocation of Beis Yaakov girls surrounded by their teacher, you know, really making the pilgrimage to the Kever of the Ramah into an incredible spiritual experience. It wasn't just the Beis Yaakov girls, it was apparently a very common practice in pre-war Europe for those who could, you know, to go to Krakow on Lag BaOmer to the Kever of the Ramah, and, you know, to pour out their hearts at the Kever of the Ramah, to remember the Ramah, and to use that as an opportunity to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I think, although, you know, Rav Shimon bar Yochai and the Ramah had very different types of contributions to the Torah world, but I think it's fair to say, certainly for those of us who are Ashkenazim, which I think is all of us, we wouldn't be who we are today without the Ramah. I mean, again, we don't follow every single halachic decision of the Ramah, but to a large extent, the customs of Ashkenazi Jewry are from the Ramah. You know, again, here and there, you know, there's some differences between Hasidim and non-Hasidim, and you know, little Yekis sometimes do things a little bit differently. But by and large, you know, 90% of what we do as Ashkenazim comes from the Ramah, from Moshe Isserles of Krakow, lived in the 1500s and wrote the Ashkenazic glosses to the Shulchan Aruch, basically laying out what our practice is. To a large extent, the Torah that we follow in everyday life is because of a man who left this world at the beginning of the Tov period of Sfiras HaOmer. If you want to do something on Lag BaOmer besides getting a haircut, shooting arrows, toasting marshmallows, and doing all other kinds of things, it might be worthwhile, you know, I don't know if anyone here is going to learn the Zohar on Lag BaOmer, but it might be worthwhile to learn a little bit something from the Ramah, you know, if only just to open up the first page in Shulchan Aruch and just read the few lines of the Ramah where he tells you
that putting God before you at all times is a fundamental aspect of what our faith is all about. So the Rama really, laid the groundwork for so much of what we as Ashkenazi Jews observe today. He's for us the beginnings of the Tov, of the beginnings of the ability to bring in Torah into Sefiras HaOmer. So practically speaking, what do we take away from this? A very beautiful gematria. What's the action point that we should take away from this shir? So I think ultimately, when we think about ways to mark Lag BaOmer, more so than the picnics, the baseball games, the haircuts and all of that, Lag BaOmer is the time for us to think about increasing our Torah ever so, whatever we can, and that will give us even a greater degree of preparation for Shavuos, which is the ultimate yontif of Kabbalah Satorah, the ultimate holiday of the reception of the Torah, and that will enable us to come out of the period of Sefiras HaOmer with this Lev Tov, with this good heart, a mind and a heart which has been shaped to be able to properly receive the Torah on Shavuos. So I want to thank everybody for this past semester, Baruch Hashem, and we look forward to picking up the phone.
Mentioned in the Gemara.
What's that?
Why was it like Ba'omer mentioned in the Gemara?
I don't know.
After all, it's
right. I mean, there is a reference to.